Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command with Logan Paulson, who spent a decade in the NFL. I'm Grant Paulson. You can watch me and Logan on the 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 YouTube channels. You can listen to this podcast wherever you get your audio. We give you three eps a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We are nothing if not consistent. Logan, all the vibes were so good. All the optimism was just bountiful and flowing like the rains on the fields in Ashburn last week. Stephon Diggs had been delivered. I'm starting to like think about this offense and all the pieces they put around Jaden Daniels. And then Laremy Tunsil leaves the practice field with what initially a lot of people thought might just be a stinger. He's kind of shaking his arm, walking off. Video showed him in a one-on-one drill with Adafe Owe, just start grabbing at his elbow, essentially. Turns out he tore his triceps and is very likely going to be out for the year. Now, in talking to some folks around the building, they're not willing to say that yet. We'll wait to see the timetable after the surgery. But this is a 4 to 6 month recovery, typically, and often a season ender, just a devastating blow for Washington.
Yeah, it is a big deal. And, you know, like, we'll see what the injury, the final prognosis or diagnosis is, because sometimes you get like partial tears and you can come back a little bit quicker. Obviously, we don't know that yet, but I don't know, man. Every time I hear tricep, it's like one of those things where you hear like, you know, ACL. It's just like the timetable tends to be pushed out. And I've known some guys who've played with like partially torn pecs, partially torn triceps. You can do it, but again, like if that thing is like more than like 50 or 60% torn, they're probably going to give him a surgery. So obviously, yeah, like, it's like one of those things where, you know, I was talking to my wife and my phone just starts buzzing like crazy. I'm like, what's going on? And then everybody's sending me the Twitter link to the effect that he got injured in practice with the video. And I had the same reaction you had, man. Like, I just was like, this was the thing. Like, this offensive line was starting to become a strength. You got Laremy Tunsil, you got Sam Cosmi, Josh Connerly, you know, Chris Ball's a returner. Alec Grady's got all this experience. And obviously, like, the dynamic of the offense to me completely changes, like, with this one move. And I remember I was talking to a guy a couple of years ago about San Francisco. And, like, basically, they had gone from, like, a top 10 offense to a top, you know, I don't know. I think it was like bottom 20 or something like that in a couple week period. I said, well, what's the difference, man? Like, you watch that offense all the time. I watch that offense all the time. I can't really tell. And the first thing he said to me was like, Trent Williams has been hurt. And obviously, like, when you have a piece like that, a top five player at the position that you can slide away from, can win one-on-ones in the pass game, can win one-on-ones in the run game, you can pull to the perimeter, you can use them to create angles and mismatches. It just changes everything for you. So I think that's kind of where we're at. And again, it's disheartening and disappointing, but I do think this also creates an opportunity for someone else, either on this team or that's a free agent currently, to make an impact.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a lot about other options, who steps up. We'll do the next man up league routine in a moment, right? But I want to just kind of wallow in this for a second if we can. And what I mean by that is...
That's such a you thing, man. Let's just be in it. Let's just be in our feelings for a minute. Let's just do be that. Here.
No, I think it's important to acknowledge what Laremy Tunsil is. Like, that is a real thing. I am team, like, it's football, man. Next guy up. But it is very different to replace. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but like Ben Sinnott or, you know, Andrew Wiley or whatever. This is a top five player in the NFL at his position. This is a potential Hall of Famer. This is one of the best. Stop me if I say something that's ridiculous, by the way. This is one of the best pass protectors in league history, like in terms of technician length, like some of that stuff. They just paid him a record amount of money to prove it. Like, you don't pay him $30 million a year because you don't need him, if that makes sense. Now, this is what happens in football. Guys get hurt and you got to figure it out. But I do want to at least acknowledge, like, while we're going to do the next thing, which is...
Yeah.
Sometimes the best players aren't on teams that go win Super Bowls, and you can definitely coach around deficiencies and whatnot. This is a special player. He is the best player on this team. It's not a slap at Jaden, right? Jaden Daniels in 24 was an MVP candidate last year, wasn't healthy. Hopefully by the end of this year, we're ranking him in the top 5 to 7 at quarterback. But there's nobody on this team that you would bet on before Laremy Tunsil to be an All-Pro this year. Like, he is in that way the best player on this team, and he might be out for the year now. Doesn't mean he's the most irreplaceable. You know, you and I could debate that because I think they You know, they have okay players at the position, but he's the best player. And that stinks. Like, this is a tough thing for this fan base.
Yeah, I'm glad you put that on there because, again, like, he is – I think people, it's easy to say, oh, like, this receiver is better than this receiver, right? Or this quarterback's better than this quarterback. Or this edge is better than this player. Like, it's the same thing with offensive linemen. And sometimes you cut on the tape of an offensive lineman, you're like, that dude is just different. Like, you watch Penei Sewell, Tristan Wirfs, Lane Johnson, like Jordan Mailata, insert your Trent Williams. Like, you just cut it on. You're like, you're a different species of athlete, of mover, of intellect on the field. And, you know, like, we just named some pretty good football players there. And I think Laremy Tunsil's in that pantheon. Like, when you watch Laremy, when you watch him do his double teams, when you watch him man reach, when you watch him pass set, he just moves in a way that is unique to him. And then you couple that extreme athleticism with the technical acumen that I think is very, it is probably of the guys I just mentioned, probably the best. He is the best technician at the tackle position in the NFL, I would say. And so when obviously that player goes down, it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult to overcome those obstacles and move forward. As an offensive player, like, I understand the impact of that player on the offense. Like, it helps Jaden, it helps the run game. Shoot, it helps the wide receivers, it helps everybody. And so not having that is going to be going to be something that, you know, people are going to have to really work hard to overcome.
You mentioned the dynamic changing. That's the phrase you used of the offense.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Do you call plays differently? Do you now change, you know, your original idea is like splitting tight ends out all the time. Do you have to keep one in more often to help protect a tackle? Like, what changes in the dynamic?
I mean, everything changes, right? Like, so just as like a simple thing, like, let's say we want to run outside zone, right? Let's say we want to run Wanda, like, which is, you know, outside zone to the open end tackle. So we want to run Wanda to Laremy Tunsil. Like, I trust with good confidence that he can be on an island on that block, widen the edge of the defense, give the back space to work and press the hole and then cut the ball back. If you put somebody else in there, like more average tackle play, that edge is going to be shorter. The back's going to get boxed. It puts more stress on the front side double or the double between the guard and the center. It puts more stress on the backside B. Like, so literally just that one, even on this outside zone, even that removing that one piece makes it harder for all other spots, even the backside tight end. So, you know, you talk about pass protection. I think it's a little bit more obvious there. You can work slides away. He can be on the man side more. Like, you can put him on an island in critical situations so you can help other pieces of that group. Like, it just makes everything more difficult. Like, I remember, like, when I was here in 2012 and we were really rolling, we were like, I want to say it was like 98% in short yardage situations running the Trent side. And he was just that good that it was like a cheat code. It wasn't like tush push good, but it was like pretty damn good in terms of like we were going to run power outside down to the left. And so Trent was just going to be able to create that much space. The back was going to be able to find the crease right off his butt and run for 3 yards every time. And like that is those things over the course of a game make it so easy because you're like, okay, what do I like in third and short? Oh, let's call power to the left because Trent's over there, right? Oh, shoot, like what are we like? We're getting kind of beat up here. We need something to get us back on track. Oh, let's run outside zone to Trent, and he's going to win this matchup. And we're going to get to the perimeter. It's going to be awesome. And like just having that playmaker, like that playmaker. Like I know that sounds like I'm making a joke, but that playmaker at the tackle spot, it alleviates you as a play caller and alleviates every position on the offense.
It's funny. So I was texting with someone this morning, and they're like, "I know he's a big deal and he's a good player." He's like, "But I followed all this stuff you've been posting throughout camp." And they're like, "You never talked about him. It's not like he was having some crazy camp." And I'm like, no, you're missing the point. I was like, there was never one second ever where I was interested in anything happening with Laremy Tunsil.
Right.
Because it is the most set it and forget it, you've got an awesome player thing in the world. Yeah. Like, you're right. If you go back, I bet you I didn't tweet about him once during training camp, you know? You won't see any content from me on Laremy Tunsil because it is the position where you just don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, there are really good players like Sam Cosmi. Wasn't healthy all of last year. Still working his way back. There's some appealing things about him we've talked about. He is the guy on the team that is the most steady, awesome, nothing to talk about. And that's kind of reflected in so, there's 90 guys to cover. Like, I got to pick my spots a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was doing Laremy Tunsil things pretty routinely. I mean, it's what he does. He goes out there when he's at practice, he gives people the business for about 90 minutes, and then he walks off the practice field. Like, that's what we're talking about, dude. This guy is just different. And, Yeah, it is. It's a total bummer. Hopefully he's back in December for a postseason push. That's the best case scenario. But I don't want to spend a lot of time worrying about the timeline. I'm going to assume, this is not me reporting anything, I think you have to assume like his season is done and you just, anything you get out of it after that is a bonus, right? That's kind of the vision now moving forward that I have to an extent. But let me ask you this, and we'll come back. I want to talk about Brandon Coleman. You watched the tape of 2024. Yeah. We can go into how he played. I also want to get into some possible options, including Taylor Decker. You know, is there someone that they could bring in here and possibly sign to start? But we'll do that next. But before we do, I mentioned just on a whim, is he the most irreplaceable guy? I think Daniels is way more irreplaceable. Like, if Jaden Daniels isn't on the field, you're done. And we saw that. I think Marcus Mariota is a serviceable backup in this league, but the wheels come off the train pretty quickly. I would much rather have to replace Tunsil than Daniels. But how long is that list, I wonder? Like, obviously, running back's not important enough. I mean, Chig looks like he's going to be an invaluable piece to this whole thing. So he's probably higher up than a lot of tight ends would be. I mean, you tell me, defensively, is there like a linchpin, whether that's Oweh or somebody else, that you would have in the same vicinity? I think Tunsil could be second or third, like on a podium spot on this list, but he's not number one for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the quarterback's the most important position in football. But like, to me, like, I think that's the thing I'm having a hard time with, is like the difference between him and the next guy in the room at the offensive line is probably the greatest difference on the team, which is kind of crazy to say because there's some good
football. Him and Brandon Coleman.
Yeah, like it's probably the biggest. And that's not an indictment of Brandon Coleman. It's just, it's how good Trent is playing. Like,
we talked about this on the phone, and just to give people a little window into that, what I come to realize is my feelings toward Brandon Coleman, which I've never felt like matched the teams, and they're more right than me, obviously. But like, I've always felt like I like him more than them. Like, in my mind, I go, they got to the NFC title game in 2024. He was the starting left tackle, and he was pretty solid. Like, I don't remember him being bad. My last memories of him are when he came in against the Chiefs on Monday Night Football last year. I thought he was really good. I know that he struggled at guard, and that's like the last taste we have in our mouths. But as a tackle, I always thought Brandon Coleman was serviceable. I didn't think they had to upgrade from him. I thought it was just kind of nice because a Hall of Famer fell into your lap. But then they kick him to right tackle, and it seems like I'm cool with that. They immediately draft one. So their actions tell you maybe that how I felt about Coleman wasn't actually how they felt. And it seems like you're more on their side.
So what I'll say is like, I went back and watched 2024. And to me, like it wasn't as positive as I remember being in the moment. Like, I remember like thinking, oh, like he's, you don't really feel him in games. Like, he's doing a great job. Go back and you're kind of like, oh, like there's way more help, chip help. There's way more formational help here. They're not putting him on an island the same way that I thought they were. They're, you know, like he's a little bit up and down as a run blocker, right? Which is kind of weird to say because he's 330 pounds. But I will say, Grant, that like I went back and watched every tackle rep from 2025, and I think he's gotten significantly better, specifically in pass protection. And so, you know, looking at him in 2024, I was like, you know, like if he had to come in and play this year, that version of Brandon Coleman, I'd be like, you probably want to go in a different direction. You want to probably find a different resource to allocate there. Someone with more experience, someone you can kind of bet the house on. But then again, 2025, like I thought he had a great feel, like a much better feel, specifically in pass pro, right? Like he's got 35-inch arms, didn't really use his length very well in 2024, much better in 2025. Like I watched Abdul Carter this year a ton. I watched him give really good tackles fits. And Brandon Coleman is just in his bag, on the line, looks a little bit different than Tunsil, right? But using this great length, outside hand punch, kind of independent hand punching, right? I'm staying nice and square. I'm anchoring versus the bull. I can counter versus inside move. And so I thought he matured a lot as a pass protector. And so you watch the Kansas City game. You watch the Philly game. Both Philly games. Again, the first one's more relevant because the starters are playing. You watch the New York Giants game. He's getting in all those games. I think he had over, about 180-ish snaps of offensive line, like tackle play in that, right? So I think there's a lot there that kind of made me say, okay, he matured from year one to year two, and maybe he's ready to take another jump at that left tackle spot, would be my thought after watching last year.
I wonder, when you went back and watched 24, that Giants game, one of his first games of his career.
Yeah.
So it was week two, I think, at home. So it was Jaden's first home game, second game of his career. I remember him kind of locking Brian Burns down.
Yeah. So to me,
is it not what I remember?
Yeah, it was a little bit, again, like, so to me, there's like a difference, right? Like, there's like, it's like when you watch Tunsil, when you watch Taylor Decker, we're going to talk about him in a minute, but like, there's this confidence to a set, right? You just kind of put yourself out there, two hands on the block, we're locking this thing down, or I have a plan, you know, some people are one hand, independent punchers, whatever it looks like. And I felt like he was a little bit nervous. So like he'd go to punch and he wouldn't really throw his hands out there. The guy would kind of attack his outside shoulder and he'd kind of run it by and Jaden would step up, but that's like a pressure, you know. Then he had one where he had to block down on a four eye and gets kind of lifted up by, you know, Dexter Lawrence. You're like, okay, like that's all right. Like we're surviving this down, but I didn't feel the physical kind of confidence that I think a lot of players need to have to play the position. And it's one of the reasons why, like, when you look at offensive line developmental arcs, it's really like the third year where they really start to come into their own. They really start to become really good football players. And so, again, I that's how I felt after watching 2024. But watching 2025, I was like, this guy is showing you something here. And it's good stuff. It's a confidence set. There's good strength here. I think in general, his play strength needs to improve, specifically as a run blocker. To me, it's not necessarily a strength issue. It's more of like a hip ankle flexion type of bend position. Like you watch Tunsil, you watch Connerly, even the ability to kind of sink into contact and roll your hips through. He doesn't really have that club in the bag. He's a little bit more of a waist bender than I would like. But as a pass protector, I thought he was very, very good. Like I'm going to say that very, very good in 2025, which again, like that's a big part of the position. And if he can do some of that stuff for you, maybe you feel like he can kind of hold down the starting role while Tunsil's hurt.
Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, take command. All right, I want to talk about some of the other internal options. We've only talked about Coleman. And then also, there is one veteran free agent out there whose name has come up a bunch over the last 48 hours within the fan base. And as you can imagine, I got probably, I don't know, 25 messages from people in the mailbag as to whether or not they should sign Taylor Decker. So we'll talk about that as we continue.